Hello and welcome to the Wabi Sabi series podcast, unlikely conversations on uncomfortable topics. I'm your host, Michelle Cox, a corporate exec turned author who has recently written a series of books about topics we don't often talk about. Things like death, grief, not having kids, and the unexplained power doctors often wield over us. Apparently, some of my books have made some people feel a little uncomfortable, but I felt that I wanted to have far more conversations around weird, wonderful, and sometimes taboo topics. So I reached out to some interesting people and asked them just one question. If there is one topic that you'd love society to talk more about, what would it be and why? And what they've shared with me has been amazing. So let's dive in and see where the conversation takes us.
Whether I verbalized it or not, I would say, okay, they're not ready to receive this version of me, and I'm not ready to let them critique this version of me because I'm not strong yet.
Shauna Ryan is a millennial visionary, international blog curator, public speaker, writer, producer, and emotional thought leader. In 2015, she founded Strong Woman, a social media movement that today has a global audience of over 2 million people. From sharing stories that celebrate and inspire women, to running events, workshops, and volunteering, Shauna has invested over 2,000 hours into Strong Woman, funding everything from her very own pocket. Shauna is also the creator of Community Narrative, a digital and social media management and curation agency. Shauna shares her time between Newcastle and Los Angeles, and has recently landed herself the title of co-host of Australia's newest social media singing contest, Homegrown Superstars. I am so excited to talk to you today, Shauna. Welcome to the Wabi Sabi series podcast.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I'm so excited.
So let's start. You and I have known each other for a while. This whole podcast is about one question. So if there is one thing that you wish society would talk more about, what would it be?
I think it would be what personal growth actually looks like.
Personal growth. Talk to me more about that.
Yeah. So the last probably 3 years, I've gone through a lot of personal growth. I've shifted my career focus. I have moved away from Australia a couple times. I've come back. And in those months and years, I have gone through several, transformations of myself. And there are expired versions of me that exist that other people know. And so basically just navigating that, and also navigating what personal growth actually looks like. I know that if I looked at what growth was 3 years ago, I'd be like, oh, that's nice. But had I known what was actually involved, I probably wouldn't have signed up.
So do you feel that, like, you have a choice, though? Because you kind of sound like if you wouldn't sign up for it, that you could actually opt out of it. But is that how you really view it?
To a certain extent, I think as human beings, we all evolve. We have to navigate through life. And I guess I look at it as levels. And once you master a level, you level up and you have something else to conquer. But there is a level of courage that is required to take a bold step. And I've taken several bold steps in my life. And I think I could have had the decision to not take those bold steps. I could have settled and therefore would not have had to go through certain things that I have.
Can you give me some examples, like if you are willing to share? Well, I know you are quite open, and that's something I really want to talk about, is how you're so amazing. Like, if people haven't seen you online, and they need to, I'll have your socials and stuff on the podcast notes, but you're bloody funny, I've got to say. And you're always goofing off and doing stuff, which I just love. But you're so brave. And I, you know, you and I've had lots of conversations about that, about me doing things like even a bloody Facebook Live, and it kind of freaks me out. Whereas you're like making up songs and singing, and that's how you got onto Homegrown, right? Because you wrote a song and won the competition. You just embrace, you know, what some people call like your flaws, and, you know, you're so yourself, but it sounds like you've taken a bit, you know, a while to get there. And we met years ago, and I've seen a massive transition with you in that phase. So talk to me a little bit about that process potentially, or, you know, one of the points that you found that you had to really change and work on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I, in 2016, I believed, decided to leave my full-time teaching job. I knew that I didn't want to be a teacher forever. It was something to do in the interim, which who decides to get a degree and do it as an in-between job, but here we are. And so I left my job and didn't know exactly what I was walking into. I had no business experience, but I had a lot of inspiration and creativity and drive. And fortunately, that helped me float to a certain extent. But with that, I met some interesting characters along the way and really was forced to level with myself and figure out, am I who I say I am? Because I was telling everybody that this is what strong woman is, this is how I want to exist in the world. But behind the scenes, I was quite insecure. I allowed other people's opinions be my truth. I was met with a crossroads, essentially, and I had to deconstruct all of the truths that I thought were part of my identity and really reclaim who I wanted to be in this world. And that was like a 3-year journey. And now I've come to where I am today. And within those untruths, essentially, was body image stuff. I've always been very self-conscious of my body. I've always felt like, you know, fat girls don't get the happily ever after, fat girls don't get this. And I just had to unlearn all of that, some of which I had absorbed from media, some of which I had just developed on my own. So that was a major part of it for me. And then also recognizing that I don't have to be any version of myself except who I want to be. And in the probably the last 6 months, I've really unlocked the version of myself where I'm operating in my deepest joy. When I'm doing the things that I love, that's when opportunities come to me. And that's when I am a magnet for amazing relationships and conversations and opportunities. So for me, the growth has looked like deconstructing myself, tearing down the walls, as it were, being left with the structure of a house, essentially, and recognizing who I was when I was a child, the things I was interested in, the things that made me laugh. That's actually who I am as an adult. And I was denying those parts of myself because I thought that society didn't want to see that version of me, or maybe my family wasn't able to understand that version of me. And once I kind of locked myself away and I didn't cut the world out, I found myself in a situation. I was in a new city. I moved to a new city where I didn't know anyone and was working from home and found myself very isolated. So that was kind of like the tipping point for me. I had gone through all of this growth and learning from amazing people, and then I was left to my own devices and really had to break down, you know, am I who I say I am? Am I brave enough to be that in the real world instead of just behind closed doors? So with that growth, I mean, it sounds beautiful, and especially where I am now,
sounds
it
amazing.
Sounds like a fairy tale, but there were a lot of tears. There were so many tears, and I'm not I never used to be a highly emotional person, or maybe I was and I just kind of blocked that version of myself, but uncontrollable crying because I was tired, crying because I was confused, crying because I'd been crying. There was a lot of snot, crusty nostrils. I felt like nobody could understand what I was going through, and it was something that I had to kind of navigate myself. I felt like I was lost in a foreign land, like a foreign country where I didn't understand the language, and I just had to figure out how to get home.
If you have a topic burning inside you that you'd love to talk more about and have a conversation with me, I'd love to hear from you. So drop me a line at hello@wabisabiseries.com. Let's head back to the chat. Did you do this sort of all yourself, all this work, or did you get help in any way, like bounce off anyone or see therapists? Or because that's pretty heavy shit, like all the stuff you talked about then, like going through that and absolutely almost breaking down your core. And to me, it's sort of, I've done a bit of work on sort of values and beliefs, and that kind of reminded me of that, of what you were talking about then, of actually breaking down those core values that we think, you know, we've held for so long and that have served us to a point of time, but no longer serve us. And there's a time when you actually should do that work and realize that these beliefs and values are not right for you anymore. And that's okay. So yeah, how did you go through that process? Because I'm intrigued about, you know, that is, it's a lot of work. So tough to do by yourself, but amazing.
Absolutely. The process was started by somebody I was good friends with, and then we actually had a falling out and I was left to my own devices. I, you know, was on this mentoring journey, and then it just, the floor fell from under me, and it was quite a nasty, I guess, breakup, and I didn't know where to go from there. So I kind of went inwards and did a little bit of work on my own. I wasn't in a financial position to go to a therapist. And at that stage, I didn't really understand the value in going to a therapist, which now today I'm like, go to a therapist. It's the best thing you could ever do. But from there, I ended up just connecting with a like-minded individual who's a spirit baby like me. And she has done a lot of similar work. She's 10 years my senior, so she was able to just hold space for me, not give advice, but just be a sounding board and let me just verbalize some of my thoughts, some of my opinions, and let them be said out loud so then I could hear them back and recognize, oh, that's not healthy, or that's not real. And I think the key was just a safe space. I had this safe space for 3 years where I lived with her for a little bit, and then we talk every day, but there is so much value in having somebody who can just hold space for you and allow you to be yourself, allow you to explore different versions of yourself, and there not be an eyebrow raised. Because I think it also helped for me, this person, we met only 3 years ago, and so she didn't have any preconceived ideas of me. She saw me in that moment and she saw my potential. And I know that's a gift, because I have, you know, my family, my friends, my support network, who are all beautiful and so loving, but they only know one version of me.
And they're often your greatest critics, right? Like, people don't realize that because they see you in a particular way. But, you know, we grow and evolve, and often we have, you know, sort of a facade that we mistakenly grow. Like, it's often people are very different in their work environment than they are at home, and people that cross over to those areas are like, whoa, I didn't realize you were like that. Or, yeah, it's fascinating. So,
yeah, absolutely. So on top of learning this not new version of me, this version of me has always existed, but I was given the freedom to stretch my wings. On top of that, then going back home to loved ones and showing up as this new version of myself, and them not understanding and saying, hey, whoa, you've changed. I'm like, no, I haven't changed. I've grown. Mm-hmm. And then having to navigate people's expired versions of you. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah. And how did you deal with that though? Because that's a really good point, I think, for people that do work on themselves and stuff and try and, you know, and I, again, that comes to mind, if anyone, you know, if they have particular dependencies on stuff and then they come out the other side, people see them as a party girl or guy and, you know, always drinking or whatever, and then they decide that they want to give up alcohol, and then this whole new navigation, and then still being with those friends and people and family that they want to, but in this newer, better version of themselves. How did you navigate those kind of complexities?
To be honest, I tested the waters. I'd show up to, you know, family events, or at the time I was living overseas, so I would, you know, FaceTime and reconnect and would just test their responses, and often they were not okay with this different version of me. They were confused. And so that's when I put up the boundaries to protect myself until I strengthened my core. Whether I verbalized it or not, I would say, okay, they're not ready to receive this version of me, and I'm not ready to let them critique this version of me because I'm not strong yet. I wouldn't distance myself in that, you know, we'd stop talking, but I'd wait a little bit until I, you know, would be in their lives again. So that's how I navigated it. And now I can be this version of myself, the full version. And it may not be understood, but because I am so confident and at peace with how I operate in the world and how I navigate, that is well received.
So thinking back to 3 or 4 years ago in your former self, what's the one thing that you are most happy about in terms of the change in you?
I think just the self-love that I have. It's been such a journey, to the point where my friend would sit with me and she would force me, I guess, with love, to look in the mirror for 3 minutes without breaking eye contact a day. She'd say, okay, 3 minutes a day, go. I was sharing with a friend the other day that it's only been in the last probably 4 or 5 weeks that I have looked in the mirror. Now, I did a lot of work on myself physically last year, lost like 20 kilos and then ended up, no, the year before, and then ended up gradually putting on half of that again because of emotional eating and then all this growth that I went through, and I injured myself and I just haven't been as active. I looked at myself in the mirror the other day for the first time in my like curvy chubbiness, and I was like, I really love her. I'm heavier than I was a couple years ago, but I love every part of myself. And it's not just physically, like I'm a fan of my personality and whatnot without sounding like I'm full of myself, but it's so refreshing to not be ashamed of a certain part of myself, to not feel embarrassed about some of my quirks. And that is the most valuable thing I think any woman or man can do, is to learn to be fully appreciative and love themselves. And it's taken 3 years, but I, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, was finally at the stage where I was like, she's real cute. Doesn't matter that she's a little heavier. Like, I'm doing everything that I can to look after my body, after my mental health, after my spiritual health. And it just feels really good to show up for myself in every area and allow space to be just whatever version of me in the season.
I love it. That is so fabulous. And just kind of gives me goosebumps thinking about that and how you've really managed that. I cannot imagine a single person that wouldn't go through one, you know, point in their life that they don't feel that way. And, you know, everyone always thinks that, you know, the most beautiful people with the best bodies and the best lives, that they don't have those issues, but they do. You know, the more amazing people I meet around the world, we've all got the same concerns and issues and hang-ups and whatever. So I think your words and being able to guide, especially younger people as well, is fabulous, because the more we can be comfortable in our own skin, the better. And, you know, it's that whole adage of you need to learn to love yourself before, you know, others can love you. And I think it's so true, right? So on that particular point, your topic is around growth and for people to understand what that really looks like. And so how do you want to wrap that up for me in terms of the, if there's a couple of tips or a couple of pointers that you think people should embrace or do or think about if they want to, or, I mean, often people don't even realize they need to go on a growth journey, but how would you like to kind of wrap that up for me?
It takes courage. It takes consciousness and courage. I found myself at the end of last year questioning, I was like, why is everything happening to me? I've broken my knee, I've done this. And then fortunately, because of the work I had been doing, about 3 days into my meltdown, I was like, oh, this is a period of growth. Okay, I've identified it. Doesn't make it any less dramatic or uncomfortable, but I can identify and I can recognize I will be okay. And there's a great quote from Max Dupree who says, we cannot become what we want by remaining what we are.
Yeah, so true.
If we look at ourselves in the mirror, we look at all of the aspects that make us who we are, our passions, our relationships, our very outlook on life. If we are content with all of those spaces, which, you know, I say that I've done all this work, it's a journey. I haven't come to a destination. It is definitely a journey. And as I said, there's levels, but you have to make a decision to embark on that journey, or you can settle, and that's fine. I've settled plenty of times because it's uncomfortable and you get tired. But for me, the biggest tip would be have a destination in mind, but don't be obsessed with how you get there. Because in life, there are going to be so many detours, pit stops. Part of the time, that's to do with keeping you safe and making sure you don't go down any wrong path. Part of the time, it's to teach you an extra lesson, or sometimes it's to just give you the scenic route. So I think be absolutely obsessed with who you want to be and where you want to end up, but be open to how you get there and trust that it takes time. I say, you know, I'm confident when I look in the mirror, there will be days where I'm like, that's totally okay. Allowing yourself space and grace to navigate that. But yeah, it takes courage to embark on a growth journey. And yeah, however you get there is perfectly beautiful.
Fantastic. That's such wise words and beautiful advice for everyone listening, and some, you know, real key takeouts there, Shauna. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight to talk to you today, so giving us some real wisdom, and thank you for sharing such honest and, personal stories there as well. So how can we find you? Because as I said, you're quite funny, so I would encourage everyone to connect with you on Instagram and TikTok, which is really making grounds at the moment. So can you tell us where we can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram handle is @ShaunaShauna_. It's kind of a blend of inspiration and funny, and then a little bit of work stuff, which is obviously Homegrown Superstars, and then also Strong Woman, which has been a little bit on the back burner while I've been growing and while I've been doing my personal work, because you can't fill somebody else's cup if you're not overflowing. And I made a rule for myself, I will only fill from overflow. So you can follow @StrongWomanOfficial on Instagram as well. And TikTok is Shauna Shauna Official, I think, which there's a bit of crossover. I put stuff on Instagram. So Instagram's like the landing page, and then you'll be able to find everything else.
Beautiful. Thanks. Anything you want to finish up with before we end today?
No, just that I am so honored to be part of this. I have watched your journey writing these books. I know you went on a hiatus. You just churned 3 books out. You're like, by the way, I'm an author. And seeing your joy, seeing your pottery, seeing you flex your creativity, I, as your friend, love seeing that transformation. So keep doing it.
Oh, that's so lovely. Thank you, Shauna. It's just been an absolute pleasure. And I've learnt lots about you today that I didn't know, which is always fun as well. So thanks so much. And we'll catch up really soon. Hopefully get to give you a big hug when we get out of this strange new world that we're in. If you'd like to learn more about today's guest, you'll find all the show notes and interesting links on our website, wabisabiseries.com. If you'd like to hear more unexpected conversations, please subscribe to the series, follow us on our socials, or grab one of my books. And if you're in a generous mood, I'd love you to share the episode, or maybe even rate, review, and comment on the series. It really does make a difference. Until next time, be sure to claim your own piece of wabi-sabi and walk proud in your perfect imperfections.